Our Father, we come to you now as we approach your word and ask our God for your clarity. We ask, O Lord, that though sometimes we think we know the gospel well, that we would realize there is always new faith to be taken hold of, new understanding to be taken hold of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Help us to gain some more perspective on the importance of getting these things right when it comes to our faith. Open our eyes and open our hearts by your Spirit and enable us to learn from the Apostle Paul afresh what it means to trust in Jesus Christ alone for our salvation. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, now we are returning to the Epistle of Paul to the Galatians. The Epistle of Paul to the Galatians began, you remember, as Paul introduced himself to a congregation that he had never visited, but a congregation that was undergoing a battle with a group of men who believed that Jesus died for their sins, but also believed that they needed to add works of law to what the gospel said about faith in Christ. We saw last week that Jesus Christ died to and gave himself for our sins to deliver us out of this present evil age. And building on that, the Apostle Paul now is going to give us a deeper perspective on the conflict he was confronting in Galatia, beginning at verse 6. I'm amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another. Only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even though we, or an angel from heaven, should preach to you a gospel contrary to that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to that which you received, let him be accursed. For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Well, the great Martin Luther, the one who began the work of the Reformation formally in Germany centuries ago, before he was saved, before he understood the gospel of salvation through faith in Christ alone, he struggled with guilt over his sin. And he found no rest in the works-oriented gospel of the Roman Catholic Church. But when he finally understood the gospel of Jesus Christ, as Paul set it forth in the book of Galatians in particular, he found rest. And he said he felt as though the gate of heaven had opened to him. He learned that gospel here in Galatians. He also learned it in the book of Romans in particular. But here, Paul is concerned for the Galatians because they could lose their hope of salvation because of what they were beginning to believe based on what that group called the Judaizers were teaching them. So Paul wants to show the Galatians they have been deceived. Notice his emphasis. There is no other gospel. The souls of the Galatians were in jeopardy because of a false gospel. Let me ask you if you ever struggle with assurance that you're saved. You may have been a Christian for a short time or a long time, but do you ever struggle with assurance that you're saved? Well, one reason for that could be that you haven't understood or perhaps don't understand what the gospel of Jesus Christ teaches. Now, the gospel is such that it can take a long, long time to really fully comprehend it. But let's examine what Paul says here, because his point in this passage is to do a work of rescuing his readers from a false gospel. So let's watch him do it. In the first place, Paul says he is amazed at what the Galatians have done. That is, he's very, very concerned they will lose their hope of salvation. They have not just abandoned the gospel, they have abandoned Christ. Look at verse 6 in our text. I'm amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. He reminds them of what the gospel was in verse 3. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's grace and peace that comes from God. The grace of God. The grace of God is found in Jesus Christ. It's found in what he has done, not what man does or could do, but in what Jesus Christ has done. What is grace? Grace is simply unmerited favor from God, given to anyone who trusts in what Christ has done and in that alone. What did Christ do? Well, he told us that too in verse 4. He gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us out of this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father. He gave himself, he gave his life, he died in the place of sinners as punishment for their sins, so that they would no longer be ruled by their sins or ruled by the spirit of this age, which is an age of rebellion against the Creator. This is the gospel. It is the only gospel of Jesus Christ, and Paul says that they were deserting it for another gospel. That thing that they were deserting the gospel of Jesus Christ for was the gospel of the Judaizers, which consisted of salvation by faith in Christ plus something added, namely fulfilling the law in at least two ways. First, fulfilling the law by keeping the Old Testament feast days. Turn to chapter 4 and verse 10, where Paul says, you observed days and months and seasons and years. They believed in keeping feast days, and they believed in being circumcised. They believed in keeping the Passover, the Day of Atonement, and other feasts, but they also believed they needed to be circumcised. He tells us that in chapter 5, verse 2, when he says, behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit to you. Thus, the gospel according to the Judaizers, and now according to the Galatians, was salvation by faith in Christ, plus by fulfilling the law, keeping the feasts, and being circumcised. That's the gospel they were abandoning the gospel of Christ alone for. And Paul forcefully rejects the whole scheme of adding something to the gospel of Jesus Christ and the saving work of Christ by saying three things. First of all, in the beginning of verse 7, which is really not another. There is no other gospel. That is, the gospel of these false teachers is false. What they are really doing is troubling you, Paul says. They're destroying your faith. The second thing he says in the second part of verse 7 is just that. There are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. What they're teaching is a perversion of the gospel. It contradicts the gospel of Christ because it negates what Christ did in verse 4. He gave himself for our sins. They're saying Christ giving himself for our sins was not enough. They have to add something to God's will. They have to add something to what Christ has done. And the third thing he says in verse 8 is this. But even though we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. The Hebrew word there would be anathema, under God's damnation, under God's curse. What the Judaizers are teaching, in effect, is what Paul would call a damnable heresy, because it would lead them to eternal damnation in hell, and those who teach it are worthy of damnation by God themselves. There is no true gospel, says Paul, but that of salvation by faith in what Christ has done in his active and passive obedience in his life, death, and resurrection, plus nothing, especially plus nothing that man can add to it. The gospel says, trust that Christ obeyed God's law and suffered the penalty for our breaking it by his death and resurrection in your place. He's the perfect substitute for the sinner who cannot pay for his own sins. Furthermore, when you trust in Christ, then there's nothing left for you to do but continue to rest in his completion of all that work. Any gospel, no matter who gives it to you, any gospel that tells you you have to add your own works of obedience to the law of Moses or any other works at all is a false gospel. To be saved, to be forgiven for your sins, past, present, and future, you must rest completely in what Christ has done, plus nothing. And Paul's just amazed that the Galatians have changed their mind about the gospel that they've received and decided to desert Christ for a different gospel. But then Paul, in the second place, adds a provocative question for these Judaizers. They were apparently telling the Galatians that Paul was a lackey for the original apostles. He simply took the words they put into his mouth and spoke those words in his message that he preached. He was a servant of the Galatians. It may be that they heard of the council in Acts 15 and the decision that they made that faith in Christ without works was the gospel, but they now were actively disagreeing with it and teaching against it. So Paul was becoming a problem. They may have said he was acting or teaching to please the apostles, submitting to their authority, or he would never have preached the things that he did. Thus his strong words in verse 10. For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. He not really questions so much as issues a challenge to the Judaizers. And Paul has three answers to that charge of man-pleasing, put in the form of questions, but which are really strong assertions. First of all, I am not interested in, nor am I serving to receive the favor of men, apostles or no. Not interested in that. Second, I am not seeking to please men. I'm not serving men. I'm not seeking to please men. And third, if I did either of those things, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. I wouldn't be his slave. I wouldn't be an apostle at all of Christ. When someone comes preaching a variation on the gospel, you need to test it with these questions three. Where did it come from? Number one, where did it come from? Number two, did it come from men or from Christ? And number three, did it come from the Bible or from the other writings of men apart from the Bible? Every gospel that differs from that of Christ will add something to it by the way of works, the worship of a saint, an appeal to the authority of a man or woman or his or her writings or to some council over and above the scriptures. And every one of those writings, every one of those men or women will either reject Christ in the Bible or insist that it must be added to by an quote-unquote inspired founder, someone who is enlightened and therefore knew that they had something to add to what the scriptures teach is the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Christianity, it is universally true that the human theologians we refer to were without exception submissive to the infallible word of God as the word of Christ. We only trust theologians and preachers who are submissive to the infallible word of God as the word of Christ. If anyone comes to you saying, well, yeah, Christ said that, but we need to add that because so-and-so said so, that's a lie. That's contradicting the scriptures, and they are not bondservants of Christ who teach that. In the third place, we need to ask the question, what gospel are you loyal to? What gospel are you loyal to? The only gospel that is worthy of your commitment is the gospel of Jesus Christ revealed in the Bible. Consistently, this gospel can be traced from Genesis to Revelation to one source: Jesus Christ as the author of the gospel, the subject of the gospel, and the goal of the gospel. Consistently, the Bible claims inspiration and authority that belongs to God alone, and it agrees in its whole message with verses 3 through 5 of Galatians 1. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us out of this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forevermore. Very simple, very much to the point. It's Christ's beginning, middle, and end of the message. And consistently, the only gospel that's worthy of your commitment has human authors who are submissive to the rest of Scripture in what they write as fully inspired and infallible because God wrote it through them. There is no argument with the people who wrote the Scriptures under God's inspiration. The only gospel worthy of your commitment to the gospel of Jesus Christ is the one that is revealed in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. We could spend years showing how the gospel appears in every single book of the Scriptures in one form or another. And it's consistent the whole way through. Beloved, it is all too easy to get off track in your thinking. After a while, as a Christian, you begin to rely on a powerful conversion or an emotional experience or habits you've had of religious thinking for a long time, and you live for that. You live to have powerful experiences and emotional experiences, and you trust in those experiences instead of God's Word. I could reel off name after name of men and women I knew in college who claimed to be Christians and then left the gospel for something else. It's all too easy to lose track of what the Bible teaches is the gospel. And when you do that, you get lost spiritually and you begin to lose your way. Or perhaps you find an eloquent pastor or teacher or a writer who you think makes things clear, and you give your loyalty to that teacher or writer instead of to God's Word. What you should do instead is test that eloquent pastor, teacher, or writer to see if they agree with the Word of God. And it's too easy to do it the other way. And before you know it, you're not trusting God or His Word, and you get lost in your thinking, and you begin to doubt God's Word, and you begin to doubt the trustworthiness of God Himself. And you get conflicted and you walk away from the faith because it doesn't make sense to you. And where you started to go wrong was when you left the Word of God, when you stopped trusting in Christ alone and His death for your sins, for your salvation. So get it straight now, especially from verses 3 and 4. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us out of this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father. Get it straight right now if you've not had it straight before. God the Father sent his Son, Jesus Christ, who came into the world to save sinners by his sacrificial death on the cross from their sins. Jesus came to save us from our sins and from the influence of this present evil age, this present evil world, this present evil time. And he did it according to the will of his Father in heaven. And when he obeyed that will of his Father in heaven perfectly in his life, he then obeyed it fully and perfectly by dying on the cross for your sins, paying the penalty you owed of death for your sins, and by being buried, having died, and then rising on the third day. To be saved, all you need to do by His grace, and it can only be by His grace, is trust in that finished work of Christ, plus nothing, and be forgiven and saved. any and every other so-called gospel taught by any church, any man or woman, any other gospel taught by anyone will damn you to hell for all eternity. So trust no other gospel and no other Savior but Jesus Christ. And leave your own efforts out of it, whether it's keeping the law, keeping a feast, or giving your loyalty to some saint of the past. Forget that. It's loyalty to Christ and faith in Him alone that will save you. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and His death for your sins, and you will be saved. Whatever you do after that is simply evidence that you're saved by the Lord Jesus Christ and His finished work. Nothing else is needed. That is the true gospel of God, and do you believe that gospel? Truly? Have you responded to that by repenting of your sins and trusting not in that repentance, but in Christ's work of dying in your place alone? If you have, then you may depend upon it. You are saved, saved by the work of Christ alone, and your life will show it by His power moving you to obey His word. And you will show it by giving all the glory to Him for your salvation. That is the gospel of the grace of God. May God increasingly give us all grace to rest more and more in that gospel. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank You for the gospel of justification by faith alone in Christ alone, who died for our sins alone, that we need no other plea, no other Savior but Him. Help us to rest continually in Him, and so be assured of our salvation. Grant us grace to believe that and to preach that to others. In Jesus' name, amen.